Good morning. Okay, stand with me as we get a chance to just enter into the presence of God and the reading of the Word of the Lord. We're going to read from the last book of the Old Testament, and we're going to read from the New Testament. So check this out. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, we read this last week, but we want to stir it in again. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 says, I will send my messenger. I will send my messenger. Who will prepare the way before me? Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty God. 400 years later, in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. No kidding. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will call the sons, he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And Gabriel left. Father in heaven, we come before your throne this morning. We enter into the house of God, to this assembly of believers, to this gathering of saints. Father, it's with purpose we gather this morning. As Jesus said that you desire those to worship you in spirit and in truth, we come to worship you, Lord, this morning, with our spirits and with accuracy, with truth. We pray, Lord, that you would send your Spirit upon us. God, prepare us, prepare our hearts for this Christmas season. Again, Lord, thank you for those beautiful children that work so hard. They've been practicing, Lord, as you know, since September to pull that off last night. We're so proud of them, Lord. And Jesus, thank you that we're all children in your eyes and that you are our Father who is in heaven. How holy is your name. We remember that now as we gather in this place. Thank you for your Spirit being here in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And y'all may be seated. And good morning. So again, try to figure out how many Christmas trees are actually in Building A. Good luck. June's amazing. I started trying to count them. Like, this is awesome. It was a great night last night. You guys, I hope that the Holy Spirit is preparing your heart for this Christmas and bringing freshness and newness and the meaning of Christ and the meaning of Christmas. How many people in here love to go to weddings? Raise your hand. I love weddings, don't you? weddings are awesome. For me, probably one of my favorite highlights, we just came out of Thanksgiving, was to do my son Jeremiah's wedding. And I have a new daughter-in-law, her name's Lauren. I had a killer seat during the wedding. I got to do it, right? I love weddings. Weddings are awesome. How many people in here like to plan them? Planning a wedding, FYI, can be really stressful. And it can be exciting. When you start thinking someday you get engaged, right? And as a bride, all of a sudden you're engaged, right? All these things now you have to do. All these things you now have to do, right? To pull off a wedding. A wedding and a marriage are two different things. Do I hear an amen? Okay, so what if you're a bride, what do you need to do in order to pull off a wedding?
You need a dress.
You need to get a dress. You need a bride. Hey, who's your maid of honor? Got to make that decision. What else you got to do? How about bridesmaids' dresses? Check. Invitations? You need a wedding venue? Good. What else? A cake. Who does the cake? What was else?
Flowers.
Flowers. How about vendors, DJs, food? Think about it, right? Think about it. Is Pastor Vince available? Right? There is so much planning and preparation. There's so much excitement and so much stress that goes into a wedding. And I don't know, okay, Pastor Frank has done a lot of premarital counseling. I have yet to meet a bride that somewhere along the journey from being engaged to standing at the altar doesn't cry at some point, usually over the preparation. And okay, let me be honest too. Sometimes in weddings, if there's any family dysfunction in the wedding, in the family, if you have Uncle Harry, that family nut job that's in your family, do you invite him or do you not? And then do you hope that he obeys himself? Do you hope that he doesn't say that stupid thing or he gets hammered and he makes a scene? You guys, it's all weddings. How many weddings do you think has taken place since the beginning of Adam and Eve? A lot of weddings. There's a lot of stress, a lot of planning. There's a lot of worry. There's a lot of emotion. It's an exciting time. It's a fun time. It's a stressful time. Back then, 2,000 years ago, it was the same thing. There was a little girl, a maiden, 16, maybe something like that. We don't know how old Mary was. But there was a young lady 2,000 years ago in Nazareth. She's engaged. And guess what she's doing? She's planning for her wedding. She's found a good guy named Joseph. And what we just talked about here is totally going on to some degree, be it culture and so forth, with Mary. And then all of a sudden, in Luke chapter 1, verses 26, something happened to Mary. She's visited by the angel Gabriel. Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. The Messiah is coming to earth through you, through miracle birth of the virgin birth, Isaiah chapter 7, right? And the virgin shall give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Gabriel tells Mary, hi, I know you're planning your wedding. God wants to intervene a little bit in your wedding planning. I know that you are excited about your dreams and visions for your marriage. God wants to interrupt those a little bit. Don't be afraid. Why should she not be afraid? Well, first of all, seeing Gabriel is probably a pretty fearful thing in and of itself. And you guys, here's the deal. When God calls you to follow him, usually there's some element of fear in following God. Whenever God calls you to follow him, for you as a mere mortal, there's usually some degree of fear that goes into following God. Don't be afraid. Hey, Mary, God's calling you to do something, don't be afraid. Do you know what is the most common phrase found in the Bible? Do not be afraid or fear not. The derivative of that is found over 365 times in your Bible. There is a verse in the Bible for every day of your life. Do not be afraid. God says, do not be afraid. There's a word, there's a verse tomorrow for you on Monday from God. Don't be afraid. On Tuesday, don't be afraid. On Wednesday, this next week, don't be afraid. There is a verse in the Bible. God says to humanity, fear not, or do not be afraid, 365 times. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible that I love dearly is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. This is a verse for me as a mere mortal, encourages me in my walk with Jesus. And so it goes like this. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Can we say that again this morning on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. The word fear is only found one time. This is a unique word for fear found in the New Testament, and it literally means to run from the battle. God does not give me a spirit to run from the battle. God has not given me a spirit or you a spirit to run from the battle and fear. He's given you a spirit of power, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God that dwells in you doesn't tell you to run from the battle. God's Spirit inside of you gives you power, a spirit of love, and a spirit to think clearly through life. See, people, we walk in faith over fear. Amen? We do. We do. So Merry Christmas. Okay, here's the deal. Merry Christmas. When you pick up your Bible and you read the teachings of the first Christmas found in Matthew and Luke, you'll find that God is at work, and every person that God asks to join him in his work struggle with fear to some degree. Whenever God asks you or asks me to do something, there's usually a degree of fear that goes with it. Do I really want to do this? Do I not want to do this? What's the ramifications of doing this? It's all through the Christmas story. And it's all over the life. You guys, so when I read Mary, the Mother Mary, I see this spirit of 2 Timothy 1:7 all over her life. And when I look at the Mother Mary, I'm encouraged in how I need to live my life for Jesus. She speaks to me, and I hope and pray that she speaks to you tomorrow, today, and tomorrow, and forever. So here's the deal. You guys, I know that you got your life. I've got my life. It's like this, okay? God's got a lot bigger things planned than you do. God's plans are amazing. I'm tripping out that Syria just fell apart. Damascus was overtaken last night. The whole regime in the Middle East has shifted. Since October 7th, the whole Middle East has just totally changed. It's incredible what's happening. And I was reading this morning, thinking of Isaiah chapter 40, when God says, nations are like a drop in a bucket. Nations come, nations go. Leaders come. God is doing this, and we are in this. So here's the deal. Mary's here planning her wedding. And now God, in the last book of the Old Testament, says, a day's coming when I'm going to send my messenger who will prepare the way before me, and then I'm coming, says the Almighty God. And then he goes silent for 400 years in your Bible, last book of the Old Testament. 400 years later, there's a girl named Mary. She's planning her wedding. And God says, I'm coming. And you're the one. here it comes. And Mary, all my life and my dreams and my plans and what I'm dealing with just got blown up because God's coming, right? Now, I love this. And let me just read this again, because imagine all that she's planning. And then in Luke chapter 1, and I'm just going to read 26 through 31, imagine Mary. You guys, there's been so much written about Mary, so much that's biblical, so much that's not biblical. It's really hard to kind of purify yourself and get a hold of the historical Mary. Who is Mary of Nazareth? Who was she? To try to figure her out, because she's there somewhere. The historical Mary's there. Her life happens here in Luke chapter 1, verses 26. So imagine you're a young bride getting ready to be married, and this happens to you. Imagine what's going on in her emotions, okay? Okay, here it comes again, Luke chapter 1, 26 to 31. Imagine this is you. Imagine seeing this, right? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, that's the messenger of Malachi. My messenger will come and prepare. That's John the Baptist's mom. Okay, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Okay, can you imagine that? Life's good. Whoa, Gabriel. Hail, favored one. The Lord's with you. Okay, good emotion or bad emotion? That, you guys, if Gabriel shows up and says, you're highly favored by God, smile. Okay, so she's like, whoa, right? That's awesome. That's not bad. Okay, then Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondering what kind of greeting that might be. Okay, whoa, you're an angel. This is crazy. This is awesome. Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. That's a change in my plans. That wasn't on my list. Good thing, bad thing. Okay. By the way, you'll be a virgin. Whoa. Really? Wait. I'm a virgin and I'm giving birth. Happy or sad? How do I tell Joseph this one? Or my parents? Think about it, you guys. Whoa, wait, what? Time out. Wait, whoa. She's going for it. Hail, favored one. Wow. Angel, you're, wow. Messiah's coming. Whew, I've been waiting for him. Me? Wait, I'm, what? Whoa. Did you know I'm engaged? Fear. Swing of her emotions. She finally says, okay. Gabriel leaves her. Did she sleep that night? No. Would you have slept that night? When you woke up the next morning, what's going on in your mind? Did I eat a bad falafel last night? Yesterday? Do you think she told her mom or her dad? Do you think she told Joseph? I think she woke up the next morning and said, what was that? Ah, but wait, the angel said that Elizabeth is pregnant. Have you ever been like you sense God speaking to you, but you don't know if it's God or is it me or am I hallucinating that or is that just a dream? Am I making this up? Is that real? Have you ever had that happen to you? Because, right? Mary wakes up the next morning and she's like, I know how I can confirm this. I need to go to Judea and find Elizabeth. And I love the verse because in Luke chapter 1, verses 39, I love this. Okay, so clearly, you guys, this happens to her. Whoa, I was just getting married. Okay, this is different. Did I sleep last night? Nope. Oh my, was that real? Wake up the next morning. I don't know if I tell mom or I tell dad, I'm not telling Joseph, and I need confirmation, right? Look what it says in verse Luke 1:39 through 45. Okay, so here's the deal. At that time, Mary got ready and, what's the word? Hurried. What does that tell you? I need confirmation. Bad falafel or God? At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. By the way, she had to walk. So she didn't get in her car. I mean, how she pulled that off is fun to think about. Where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Hi, guys, surprise, right? Here it is. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Mary's 6 months pregnant. Whoa, Aunt Mary, you're 60 and pregnant. No way, right? Her baby leaps, and who is that baby, anyone? John the Baptist. That's the messenger preparing the way of the Lord. And Mary's pregnant, right? When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, right? The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed. So she didn't just say, she screamed this. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." Okay, what look is on Mary's face? She hasn't said a word except hi. And this is what she gets from her, from Elizabeth. You guys, what's going on in Mary's mind? It wasn't a bad falafel. This is real. No way. Okay? No way. This is awesome. I bet she's excited. She's probably relieved. What the angel said was true. The Lord is in my stomach. The Lord? How does that work? Confirmation. I love it when God does that. Amen. So, okay, what does Mary do? Do you guys know? She stays there 3 more months. She watched John the Baptist get born. She sees this. And then what does she do? She goes back home to Nazareth with a 3 to 4 month baby bump. Okay? Has she told her mom and her dad and Joseph? Probably not. Now she's going back. Do you think she's a little afraid of any conversations that might be waiting her in Nazareth? Anyone? 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 How am I going to do this one? The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Don't do it. God is with you." Okay, Lord, here comes, you better walk before me on this. Okay, what am I going to say to my parents? What am I going to say to Joseph? What's going to be the looks I'm going to get from the townspeople? All my friends I grew up with, they're going to look at me and think I'm loose? Do you imagine what she's going through as she's going back to Nazareth? The Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, sound thinking. Mary enters into this with a spirit not of fear, but it's there. But she's walking in the power of the Lord that dwells inside of her, literally in Christ. And she's entering this. When she has to go talk to her mom and dad, she speaks in love. in power. When she speaks to her mom and dad, she speaks with a sound mind. When she has to sit down with Joseph, she speaks to him with power, with love, and with sound thinking. God has not given her a spirit to run from this. As she entered into this, people, she's such a beautiful example to you and to me of a person that's walking in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God has not given her a spirit of fear to do this, but a spirit of power. You're not running from this one. Okay, this is a great example. The whole Christmas teachings are filled with people like this that walk with God, that walk with God. Mary encourages me. So here's the deal. If Mary was here today, what would she say to you? If Mary was here today, what do you think she would say to you and to me as followers? If all of us are on the journey to meet Jesus, know Jesus, and follow Jesus, if we're here, if your mission is to meet her son, know her son, and follow her son, okay, what would she tell you, and what would she say to me? And here's some notes for us this morning, and I want you to write these down. So if you want to take notes with me, here's the first note. Are you ready? This is what I believe would be Mary's advice for you and for me this morning. Here it comes. Number one, when God asks you to do something, deal with your fears and say yes. If God asks you to do something, it's probably going to be scary. Deal with your fears, but say yes. And I love this. And I just want to read it again, okay? So Mary's wedding plans are being changed, altered, interrupted. Not only her wedding plans, but her whole wedding, her whole marriage, right? Okay. So she's now trying to figure this out. And this is in Luke chapter 1, 34 to 38. So check this out. She says, how will this be? Okay, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from the Lord will ever fail. And Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. But no, I don't want to. Find somebody else. Hey, Gabriel, I'm honored. This is really inconvenient for me. No. She didn't do that. She didn't do that. If she was here with you, she'd tell you that if God's calling you to do something, fight your fears and say yes. Okay? That's good. The path of least resistance is to say no. But you know what, man? I'm going to say yes. And think about it. In the end, think about this. Mary's probably going, gosh, Joseph, I can't wait to get married to you. I've always liked the name Jude. I've always liked the name James. Hi, Mary. God wants you to name your kid Jesus. That wasn't on my list. Okay. Hey, guys, here's the deal. Mary still got to get married. She still got to have her son, Jude, who wrote the book of Jude in your New Testament. She still got to have a son named James, or Jacob, really, who wrote the first book of the New Testament. Mary's plan still got to happen with a whole lot more. She didn't plan to have her firstborn son being the Messiah, who, by the way, never sinned and was the perfect kid you could ever have in your life. That wasn't a part of my plans. Mary still got married. Her plans, when you say yes to Jesus, people, God might alter your plans, but in the end, it's going to be better anyway. Mary looks back and says, through me, came the Messiah who saved me from my sins and all of my kids of their sins and all of my nation of their sins. And Messiah comes in Christ and he saves all of you Gentiles. Mary couldn't even figure that one out. But all you non-Jews in here, the Messiah is for you too, it says in the first book of the Bible. From Abraham's seed, one will bless all the nations of the world. The book of Revelation, long after this happened, the angels are in heaven singing that the Messiah, the Lamb of God, washes away the sins of all the nations of the world. Mary had no idea. She would tell you people, follow Jesus. Fight against your fears. Fight against your fears. God's plans are bigger than yours, but God's plans are good, acceptable, and perfect. This is what she'd tell you. Amen? I got blessed last Monday. So I came to Jesus late. I was about 22, in my early 20s when I accepted Jesus. So I did a lot of catching up to do, trying to figure out Christ and reading a lot of the Gospels and trying to figure out Jesus. You guys, I still remember the first Christmas I had when I was saved. I was like, oh my, like all the years of me growing up as a little boy with Santa Claus and Rudolph and all that. And then there was a manger and all that. I didn't get it. Man, what, the first Christmas that I had when it hit me that God has come to earth was special. It just brought depth. The promised one came. As a young believer, they asked for a call. I was going to a church, and they said, we need help in the youth group. And that was dumb, by the way. I was only 6 months old in Jesus. I shouldn't be a leader in the junior high group. But I was. They needed people. So on Monday, so there was this little boy. This kid's name was Jimmy. I still remember this kid. He was an atheist. He came to the youth group, and we this and that and the other, and I started telling him about my story and challenged him to read the Bible, and him and I would surf together. I hung out with Jimmy on Monday, and a kid named Walt, and then there's a kid named Joe, there's a kid named Jeff, there's all these young, so now he's 10 years younger than me. We were eating at Wahoo's Fish Tacos down in San Clemente. He's still surfing, catching waves, and he looked at me during lunch on Monday, and he said, hey Frank, have I ever thanked you for telling me about Jesus? And he said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I've been riding on the high of that all week. Because when I was in my early 20s, I volunteered. And I did my best to tell young people about Jesus. It was inconvenient of me on a Wednesday night to go to a junior high group. It was inconvenient of me because I wanted to serve Christ. I'm so grateful that I didn't waste my 20s. I'm so grateful that, you guys, when Jesus asks you to do something, when God calls on you to do something, it might be inconvenient, whatever that might be, but you know what? If Mary was here, she'd tell you guys, fight your fears and jump in there and say yes, and you'll be blessed. If God wants to interrupt your world, let him. Here's another one. Write this down. Here's another advice for us. When God calls us to do something, he will give us his spirit of power to do it. So if God's going to call you to do something, God's going to give you his spirit to do it, his spirit of power to do it. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Mary would sit there and say, wait, you want me to do this? The Holy Spirit is all about bringing the birth of Messiah. Mary was in the power of the Holy Spirit. It said the Holy Spirit came upon her in the miracle of the virgin birth. Mary would tell you, hey guys, if God's asking you to do something, don't be afraid. Say yes. And if God's asking you to do something, he's going to give you the power, his Holy Spirit power to do whatever it is he's asking you to do. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power. God doesn't give you a spirit to run from the battle. You guys, there's a group of very courageous people that meet here every Tuesday night in AA and listen to their stories as they're all fighting addictions. They're all over there. 12-step program. Step number one, I have a problem. Step number two, I am powerless to deal with my problem of addiction. Step number three, I need who? God, right? I can't do this without God. And you watch people fight the power of addiction, which is a total stronghold of the enemy. And many in our society are being destroyed in addiction. Many of them are homeless. You guys, God calls us to be sober. Does he? God calls us to be free. Does he? God says, I haven't given you a spirit of slavery. I've given you a spirit of freedom. I can't do this without God. And you meet their stories and their testimonies. And they'll tell you, I'm on day number 57 of sobriety, or day number 8 years, 6 months, and 2 days of sobriety. And every day they're fighting. God has not given them a spirit to run from this, but to hit it head on and in the power of God. People, if God's calling you to do something, God will give you the power to do it. You lean into Christ and you rely on him. People, if you have a friend that's in addiction and you're afraid to talk to him, God hasn't given you a spirit to run from that. He's given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind to speak with these people. God, give me the opportunity. Give me the words. Give me the time. If God's calling you to do something, he's going to give you the power to do it. Man, if your marriage is on the rocks and you need to have a conversation in your marriage, don't just sit in front of the TV and do nothing, right? Roll up your sleeves. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Man, if you're struggling with your past and just bitterness and hatred and wounds, man, don't run from that stuff. That's my closet door. Hi, Jesus, welcome into my life. Okay, you can come in my front door. Okay, Jesus, come into my life. You knock on the door of my heart, here I am. But don't go in my closet. Don't go in the closet. There's bad stuff in the closet. And God just, no, we're going in here. We need to deal with your past because it's make you bondage of the present. People, this is God. If God's calling you to do something, Mary would tell you, don't run from what God's asking you to do, and know that God will give you the power to do it, whatever it is he's asking you to do. Hey, mom and dad, raising kids are tough. Parenting isn't for cowards. But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. Dealing with your past, power, love, sound thinking. He's the wonderful counselor, the great I am. Jesus calls you to do something. Mary would tell you, don't say no. And if God's calling you to do something, he will give you the power to do it. He'll give you the wisdom, the love to do it. Do you know what people are most scared of to do? Do you know what most Christians are afraid to do today? Tell people about Jesus. Am I right? You know what you're scared to do? You're scared to tell people about Christ, aren't you? But God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the ends of the earth. Do you want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit? Don't say no. If God's opening the door for you to share Christ with somebody, share Christ. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. The path of least resistance is to say nothing. That's true. Share Jesus. The shepherds today, right? They proclaimed. And can I just say this? Pastor Frank, I'm afraid that they'll associate me with a certain group. Just tell them about Jesus. Don't talk about church. Talk about Jesus. If you're going to share Jesus, talk about Jesus. Don't talk about what political party you're with. I'm a person who's reading Jesus, and I'm on a journey to meet, follow Jesus. Where are you? My witnesses, Jesus doesn't call you. Pastor Frank, I'm so afraid to share my faith because what if they ask me something that I don't have an answer to? Sound familiar? What's the right answer to that? I don't know. That's a good question. Let me see if I can figure that one out. But here's my testimony. Jesus is in my life, okay? You guys, you know what the most... Jesus isn't giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. There are times when God just brings to remembrance things. Have you ever had this happen to you when you're in the midst of sharing Christ and all of a sudden you start quoting a verse, you start saying something, and you start looking back and going, who said that? Has anyone ever had that experience? Because it's amazing. It's the Spirit of God. In Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, Jesus says, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't worry about what you're going to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Really? You mean the Spirit of God is involved? When you share Christ, don't be afraid. Jesus said he calls him the helper the night before he died. The helper of the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance and teach you all things. Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. The Holy Spirit will help you remembrance of the Bible, but you got to read it. He can't bring to your remembrance something you've never read, FYI. So this is advice from Mary, people. When God says, hey, join me, say yes, trust that he will give you the power to do it. Mary would tell you this. Here's another one. Write this down. You ready for this one? In the eyes of God, you're more than you know. 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 Historically, Nazareth is a podunk village in the middle of nowhere. If Israel was the armpit or Judea was the armpit of the Roman Empire, Nazareth was the armpit of Judea, of Israel. Nobody comes there. And when you read your Bibles, people are going to say, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Mary was growing up in a town, maybe 200-300 people. Mary's a nobody. Mary was a nobody. And all of a sudden, one day, Gabriel showed up and said, You are highly favored. I am. The eyes of the Almighty's on you. They are. God's chosen you. He did. You know what Mary would tell you today? You are more than you realize. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. You might think that God doesn't see you. That's not true. You think that God doesn't care about you? That's just absolutely not true. The eyes of the Almighty God is upon you. He knows every hair on your head. He's got it numbered. All the days of your life, his thoughts toward you are like grains of a sand upon a beach. His thoughts toward you are, go down the beach today and grab sand and try to count the grains. That's how many thoughts God has toward you. Mary would tell you, you know, I thought I was a nobody. I'm a somebody. Paul says this, and here's a prayer from the Apostle Paul to you and to me today in Ephesians 1, verses 18 through 20. Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I think this is what Mary would pray for you too. She would pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which God calls you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the Holy Spirit, in the holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. God's power that is available to you is really amazing. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exalted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would see who you are in the eyes of God, that you would see who you are in the eyes of God. Mary would tell you today, people, here's my advice to you. If God's calling you to do something, don't tell him no. Fight your fears and suck it up. Number two, if God's calling you something, he's going to give you the power to do it. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Mary would tell you, I just want to let you guys know that you are more than you realize. Look at me. The eyes of the Lord are upon me. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. May the eyes of your heart be enlightened that you might know who you are as children of God, and how precious and special you are in the eyes of heaven today. And the power that's available to you who believe, it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Mary would tell you this morning, you guys, I thought I was a nobody, I'm a somebody. FYI, you're a somebody too, in Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Give me an amen to that one. It's right, man. And lastly, here's the last one. Mary would tell you this, and here it comes. We are all servants of the Lord. We are all servants of the Lord. Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your words be fulfilled. And then he left. Mary, when it's all said and done, she looks at herself and she says, you know who I am? I'm a servant of God. Do you see yourself as a servant of God? Do you see your life as being a servant of God? Is God here to serve you or are you here to serve him? Answer. Both. He's the suffering servant. Jesus came and hung on a cross for you. Jesus comes to serve you. And he did, and he does. Jesus calls you to serve him. Are you a servant of God? Do you see yourself that way? Should you see yourself that way? Do you know what awaits us in heaven? Well done, O good and faithful servant. Put this in your brain. You are a servant of God as his kid. This is your calling. You're a servant. Mary says, whoa, really? Okay, wait. I've got my wedding all planned out, and this is really going to change things up here. FYI, I've got my dreams and my visions for my life. This one's going to add a total curveball to the whole thing. Whoa, wait, how's this? Wait, hey, in the end, hey, man, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm a servant of the Lord. May his words be done as God wishes. She wants you to know that you need to view your life the way she does. She's a servant of God, and so are you. Amen?
Amen.
Has anyone ever been in a doctor's office? Very awkward. You sit in a doctor's office, you're filled full of people. There's usually background music. They're waiting for your name to call. Most people are on their phones. You don't ask the person next to you, so what are you in here for? By the way, that's illegal, right? I mean, there's, you know, laws and stuff like that. You guys, sometimes I think people view the church like a doctor's office. We're just waiting in line to go to heaven. I accepted Jesus, and I'm just waiting in line. I can't wait to go. I'm waiting for my name to be called. That's not right. You are not there. You are a servant of the kingdom of God today. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. We're not just sitting around waiting to go to heaven. God calls you on mission. You're a child of God. Go be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the ends of the earth. Amen? This is what Mary would say to you guys. Following Jesus is difficult. It's not for the weak-minded, it's for warriors. The path of least resistance will lead you in a completely different path. If you choose to follow Christ, it's for people to be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Jesus calls you to do things, to be a certain way, to act a certain way. You are a certain way. You're adopted into his kingdom. You're called to be different. And it's hard. It's good. Is Jesus safe? No, but he's good. If you follow him, he's not safe, but he's good. You follow him, your life's going to be different. It's a good life. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room today. Lord, here we are. It's Christmas time. In the 21st century. And here we are, Jesus, stirring in a truth that you have not given any of us in this room a spirit to run from the battle. There's no cowards in here. that's not from you, Lord. I pray, Lord God, for my brother and sister in here today who is afraid. They're afraid to do what you're calling them to do. I ask, Lord, that you would just send your Holy Spirit upon them in a powerful way. I pray, Lord, that you would give them clarity of thought. I pray, Lord God, that you would give them love and the ability to love in any circumstance, just like you, Jesus. And I pray that you would give them power to do whatever it is that you're calling them to do in their family, in their workplace, in their own personal life, in their friendships. God, I pray that you just help all of us in this room to be more than conquerors in Christ in so many ways. And Lord, may we just learn from Mary today. Can we be encouraged from a young teenager who is just a warrior princess, who's someone that walks in faith over her own fears? Encourage us, we pray. I ask, God, that you would just speak to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Okay, so if I was to teach on Mary on a Sunday morning, what would be the right song to sing at the end of that? Did you say Mary, did you know? How many people in here said Mary, did you know? Yeah. Did Mary realize what she did when she said yes? This is a beautiful song. Let this song stir into you.